Proverbs chapter 2. We'll start there. Got to thinking, this time of year is a time of year where people reevaluate life a little bit, maybe. You know, you get a chance to think a little bit of the past year and all the things that happened, and maybe some things you're planning for next year. I said, well, and I was thinking about that. I said, it's pretty simple to understand that, you know, if you're an athlete or if you're a businessman or you're involved in any kind of endeavor, that it takes effort and time on a daily basis to get good at something, right? If you're an athlete, you know, you watch these kids. I watch these kids work out all the time. I get tired just watching these kids work out all the time. Like, you know, they work out, they exercise, and they try to get, there's a reason you do it, right? You do it daily. Maybe you're trying to lose weight. Maybe you're trying to eat more than you normally should by exercising. So you know, the Gaiet diet, they call it in Canada. You know, that's right, yeah. So you can eat more, you can exercise, right? That's why you do it. There's always a reason. But the thing is, it doesn't happen easily, right? You don't just go to the gym for a week and say, wow, this is great. Now I can run the, you know, 4-minute mile. It takes time. It takes the time to do it, but it takes regular daily discipline to do it, right? It doesn't just happen. We know that. The same with business, you know, if you're learning, you know, I've been talking to Andrew about some of the things he's trying to set up in Canada. Well, did it happen immediately? Did it take several meetings? Did it take weeks? Did it take months? It takes a lot of time, right? I think you're all looking at me saying, well, yeah, it's kind of obvious. Yeah, it is kind of obvious, and we all understand that when it comes to things like athletics, when it comes to things like business. But when it comes to the things of God, right, sometimes people don't understand that, right? They say, well, sometimes people just expect, well, it's just going to happen, right? Someday, I'm going to wake up, and I'm going to be a more thankful person, right? Someday, I'm going to wake up, I'm going to be trusting God more all of a sudden, you know? And regrettably, at the end of the year, the end of December comes, and you go, you know what? I really don't maybe trust God any more than I did last year. I really don't, and you kind of wonder, well, why don't I trust God more now? And I'm not saying that for anybody here. I'm just saying sometimes this happens to us. We kind of evaluate that, you know what? I wish I could trust God more. Well, think about what it takes. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 1, it says, my son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom, and apply thine heart to understand. Listen to the verbs that are used here, right? It says, receive, hide, incline, apply thine heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge, and liftest up thy voice for understanding. If thou seekest her as silver, and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. It doesn't say if you just hang around every day wishfully thinking that someday, all of a sudden, you're going to understand the knowledge of God, understand the reverence for God. It doesn't say that, right? It says if you apply, seek, search, receive, lift up your voice, cry after. See all the verbs that are used that God uses here? And again, it's no different than if you were trying to lift 100 pounds more than you can currently lift. Every day you would try a little bit more, a little bit more, a little bit more, and you would go to it. Eventually, a few months later, you would say, wow, I can lift 100 more pounds, right? Well, it's no different when it comes to things of God. Psalm 119. Right. Psalm 119. Again, there are a lot of verses in Psalms and Proverbs down this line, but just look at a couple. Psalm 119, verse 130. It says, the entrance of thy words, talking about God's word, giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. Right? Without the introduction of light in an area of life, there is no understanding. Right? It doesn't just come. It doesn't just happen. It says, the entrance of thy words giveth light. So God's word has to be introduced into an area for us to have light or understanding in that area. You know, maybe, you know, again, I was thinking, this is kind of time of year where you set goals, right? People set goals of life. This year I'm going to lose 30 pounds, or whatever. I'm going to exercise every day. Usually for about 2 weeks, people do that, right? And then come mid-January, and people stop doing it, right? But what about other goals you set in life? How about a goal? Let's say you have a problem with depression or something. Let's say you have a problem with anger. Maybe a goal to set, I'm going to deal with the depression in my life this year. And saying that is one step, but what are you going to do about it, right? What are you going to do? What light are you going to allow? What light am I going to allow into my life on a regular basis? Like I would run every day, What light am I going to allow into my life? So then 3-4 months from now, I'm going to say, I don't feel depressed anymore. Because I took what God's word said for me to do in that area to walk out and to get the results, right? And did I do it systematically? You can be as systematic, and really, we should be more systematic with God's word and its application to our lives than we are with other things, We think nothing of, I'm going to go to the gym every day for 6 months. I use that as an example because it's something people do a lot of, right? I'm going to not eat this kind of food for a year. We do it. How about the things of God, right? Again, I think I mentioned this once in fellowship. There used to be an ad on TV when we were growing up. You remember that ad? My brother would remember it. We're in Nova Scotia, where they would have this. They would show this guy working on a Stairmaster, right? And then there'd be a guy running around or something, doing circles, or then a guy lifting weights, and then there'd be no one would say anything in the whole ad. There'd be a little bit of music, I think. And at the end, the Bible would fall on the table, and it would say, "Given that a workout lately?" Remember the Church of the Mormon or something? I think it was, remember that ad? Yeah. So think about that in terms of, when was the last time we went to God's word to try to solve a particular problem that we're having in our lives, right? Look at Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Verse 6. It says, "But without believing," or faith is the word used here, "without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." Right? Two things there. First, it says, must believe that he is, right? That there is a God. Once we believe that God is God, and he's the one, as we heard in the manifestations, and it made all these things for you, blessed you, right? All these things to bless his people. Once you believe in God, the one who created the heavens and the earth, right, that made all things for us to enjoy, that's step one. Step two, rewarded that diligently seek him. Not that I sit around and say, wishfully thinking, seek him and say, it's going to be okay. I'm going to learn somehow, a cloud's going to overshadow me and I'm going to all of a sudden have all the understanding of God there is to have. No, diligently seek him. And he doesn't say in here to, do everything right or do 1,000 works to gain it. It just says, believe him. Right? Remember those guys that came to him once, the guys in the gospel said, "What can we do to work the works of God?" What did he say to them, right? "Believe on him whom he hath sent." And that was Jesus Christ, right? So for us, the believing that God wants us to believe is concerning what Jesus Christ has done for us. That pleases him. For us to accept and believe what he has done in Jesus Christ for us. And then we diligently seek that in our lives day by day, right? Diligently. And I don't mean, doing research papers and all that, but, understanding. We've been doing Romans in fellowship for the last few months. A good example of where we've looked at some of the doctrine now in Romans. We've seen, all that God has done through Jesus Christ for us. And that's wonderful theoretical stuff to put on a shelf somewhere, right? It is. Good doctrine. What am I going to do with it? What does it mean for me to have peace with God? What does it mean for me to reckon the old man dead and myself alive unto God? What does it mean? How am I going to do that in my life on a regular basis, right? Look at Philippians chapter 3, please. Philippians chapter 3. Verse 3, "For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh." None. We saw that in Romans. Remember we saw that about the whole circumcision thing? The whole point behind circumcision was what? To show that there was no confidence in the flesh. Cut it off, gone. No confidence, right? And here Paul writes, no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law of Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church. Do you think that it might have taken Paul a little bit of effort to gain these credentials in his life? Was he born with the credentials? No, touching the righteousness. That means he did what the Word of God told him to do. He did it regularly, right? And we know from his persecution of the church, it was pretty sound, right? Right up there. Verse 6, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. To be blameless in their law took work. Regular daily work. It took him to get all these credentials. But what things were lost, gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung or refuse, that I may win Christ. So all that work that he had done in his life, what did he count it as? Dung, loss. You see, when he came to Christ, and that was a lot of work. Sometimes, you know, believers, we come to Jesus Christ and say, this is kind of cool, this is great, get born again, you know, this is wonderful, a few hugs, right? And then it's like, go back to whatever we're doing, right? Whatever our lives were at. No, that's not what Paul said. Look, all that work he had accumulated, all that, he said, listen, I don't want any of it. It's now a new life. And we saw that in Romans, a new life. You know, this life that you now live is not the life that you lived before. And so Paul says, all that work that I did, I'm going to put that aside because now I've got things to understand for a new life, right? And Paul had some pretty good credentials, right? And he says, now I have things I want to understand for my new life, right? Yea, doubtless, verse 8, count all things but loss for the excellent knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. While trying to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ sometimes, you know, we want to understand a little bit more about what Jesus Christ did for us and what God did for us. Sometimes we believers fall into the pursuit of works, right? How much can I do? How many things can I do? And sometimes we fall into that maybe to earn God's acceptance, right? That's not what I'm talking about here, right? Can you do anything to earn? You know, we heard in prayer there, we didn't do anything to earn this, right, except believe on Jesus Christ. So it's not that we start doing all these things now to earn his acceptance. That's not what we're talking about here. Be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, that what Jesus Christ did on his behalf, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him, verse 10, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. And we read a lot about that when we're looking at identification with Jesus Christ. He's trying to understand all that Christ had done for him, not just the death, the burial, but everything, all the whole stages, death, burial, resurrection, ascension, seating, and then eventually the returning with him, right? All those aspects that Jesus Christ did for us. How about some goals to try to understand that this year, right? How about setting a goal? You know what? I want to understand what that means this year. I want to understand what it means for me to identify with Jesus Christ. What am I going to do every day or every week on a regular basis so that next December, you know, I say, you know what? This year, I really understood a lot more about my identification with Jesus Christ. What you know, you see, and those goals maybe they seem a little bit more unrealistic, or maybe they don't seem as clear as, you know, gaining 20 pounds, but they're far more rewarding and far more lasting, right, than the other goals. Reading on, where are we? Verse 11. But if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. You see, he was at this point in his life, he was trying to understand more. what he had through Jesus Christ. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth. You think forgetting and reaching forth takes effort? Right. He didn't just say sitting around. He says, but the one thing, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth on those things which are before, I press toward the mark, which is a goal. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And by the way, while we're in this passage through life, verse 15, let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. So Paul says, writes here, this is what you should think. And if in anything, you'd be otherwise minded. If something else comes up you need to deal with, and things come your way, God shall reveal even this unto you. Right? See, he takes care of us. We do what he wants us to do. And here, the context here, understanding all that Jesus Christ has done for us. And God says, by the way, if anything else comes up you got to deal with, don't worry. I'll help you there as well. Right? So you see, you put the right stuff first, right? And God takes care of the rest. Sounds like Matthew, right? Look at 1 Corinthians 15, please. We talked about grace before the fellowship. We'll talk about it now for a second. 1 Corinthians 15, 9. For I am, Paul writing here, for I am the least of the apostles, that I'm not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecute the church of God. We just read about that in Philippians as well. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. So he says that, you know, he didn't deserve this, but by God's grace, he was what he was. And look at this. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. Why not? Why wasn't it in vain? But I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Sometimes, you know, we can use grace because we can just say, and we saw this in Romans. Remember the questions in Romans? When they said, by the way, because we have so much grace, can we just sin now? Because we got all this grace? Right? What was God's response? God forbid. Right? Don't even think about it. You know, the kind of people who ask questions like, because I have so much grace, I can just go around doing whatever I want, right? God says, don't even let your mind go there. That's not why he gave the grace. He gave the grace for you as a believer, right? Why does God now see us dead to sin? Because so when you make mistakes in life, when things happen, you're not condemned by it, so you can keep on serving. That's why he gave it. Not for me to say, well, now that I've got grace, I can do whatever I want. Just enjoy life and, you know, hurt, maim, and whatever else I want to do. No. Maim, that's pretty serious. You know what I'm saying? So here, he writes here, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And it's the grace that allowed him to do what? Labor, right? He didn't say, sat around in the grace, but allowed him to work harder. That's the great benefit that we have through all Jesus Christ has done for us, right? Is that now, because you are a believer, you are righteous before him. God never looks at your sin and says, well, you know, he's cast it, he puts it aside. And so if you're serving and you make a mistake, guess what? Romans 1 through 7, all of it, there's a lot in there, and we looked a lot of it, leads to chapter 8, verse 1, which is, there is therefore now no condemnation, right? You know, because the worst thing that can happen, one of the worst things that can happen as a believer, is you're endeavoring to serve and you make a mistake, right? So what happens? You know, you get down on yourself, and then you go down this tube of, I'm no good, I'm not worthy. Well, you never were, you never will be, right? Because Jesus Christ did it for your behalf. So God says, give the freedom to serve, and the grace is to recognize that when that comes along, look, you're dead to sin. I don't look at that. I look at, when you come and pray to me, I see Christ. That's what he sees. That's the work of Jesus Christ. So when you read about yourself in here and all that Jesus Christ has physically, you have spiritually, you can put aside all that stuff and allow it not to stop you from serving the way God knows you can, the way you know you can, right? So Paul writes here, but by the grace of God, he was able to serve. And yet it was not I, but the grace of God, which was with me, because we're not on our own. Romans chapter 12. Couple more verses here. Romans chapter 12. And so we shouldn't be, you know, we shouldn't be bothered or upset that it takes effort to do the things of God. We put effort in other things, right? So why wouldn't I? Why wouldn't we as believers put effort towards the things of God? Why wouldn't I say, you know, every morning or whatever you want, and again, not to get anybody into these are the things you must do to gain spirituality, and that's not what I'm getting at. But why wouldn't I? Let's say for me personally, I say, I want to read the Bible every day for so many, just me, I'm just talking about myself. Why wouldn't I do that, right? We've seen the impact of letting information into our minds on a regular basis, you know, and what it does for us. And we've talked about how choosing the right information into your mind on a regular basis can lead you to do the things you want to do. Because you know letting the wrong information on a regular basis can adjust your behavior, yeah? So why wouldn't I want to? So Romans 1 through, you know, 1 through 8 talked about all that God has done, and then 9 through 11 talks about some, you know, Judean and Gentile issues. But then for chapter 12, verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So God says here, after all that he's done, now you just go out and recognize what I have done and now walk in that, right? Walk in all that I have done for you. Well, how am I going to walk in that? It doesn't just happen. It doesn't just happen unless I systematically, you know, say, well, I'm going to look at God's word. I'm going to see what it means. I'm going to apply it regularly. And then guess what? Eventually, maybe you had a problem with anger. Maybe you start saying, you know what? I don't get as angry as I used to. You know, I don't get as disturbed as I used to. I'm not as unpeaceful, not as depressed. Whatever it is you need. Maybe you need, you know, other areas. I don't know. Whatever area you need. Maybe you don't know where to go to in God's word. Well, that's a good chance to go to somebody else and say, look, show me in God's word what I can do and what I can look at to help me in this area. In Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. I think you'll remember, I mean, you know, some of you have had some of the teaching that there's a doctrinal section in a lot of the epistles and there's a practical sections, right? I mean, it doesn't mean that one section is more important than the other section, right? In fact, in Ephesians, there are three chapters of doctrine and there are three chapters that are practical, more or less, not entirely, but same thing with Romans. The sections, so why would God do that? Why wouldn't it just be all doctrine, right? Because God wants us to apply what he's told us. He wants us to live the word. In Romans, Ephesians chapter 3, chapter 4, sorry. Did I say 3? I meant 4. Chapter 4, after all that he teaches in Ephesians 1 through 3, which we're not going to look at right now, he says in chapter 4, verse 1, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you now walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. And then give some instructions on how to do that. How to walk worthy. And then verse 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Why? Because till we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro. You see, God gave all this so that we could walk and not be tossed left and right, but be steadfast and solid and standing on the truth. But that takes daily effort. It takes daily discipline. It takes daily decision, right, to do what God's word says to do. Chapter 5, it talks about instructions to be therefore followers of God as dear children. You know, if you read all through Ephesians 3, 4 through 6, there's guidelines in verse 2, and says to walk in love, even as he has loved us. In verse 22, it talks about wives, what they're to do. And then it talks about what husbands are to do. And then it talks about what children are to do. And it talks about what employers are to do. And it talks about what employees are to do. Right? It gives you the whole gambit of life and how we're to walk now in the truth that God has made available. But then again, none of it's going to happen on its own. None of it, right? Doesn't just happen, right? It takes daily discipline. It takes daily effort. It takes planning. I mean, why would I not personally, why would I not set aside time in my day to say, listen, I got a problem in this area. You know, I have some certain things that I want to accomplish in my life biblically, spiritual goals, if you will. But the same way as I would set aside time to go to the gym or time to not eat or not cook or whatever else, the same discipline I must exert in the things of God, right? So basically I ask you the question, where do you see yourself spiritually a year from now? Where do you see yourself at the end of next December? Right. The next question, what are you planning on doing this year to get there? That's a question only you can answer for yourself. It's only, you know, a question that, and the things that are required in order to get there are only things that you can plan to do. But think about it, right? What do you want to do in the next year? And how do you plan on getting there spiritually? Okay? God bless. That's it. Okay. What's that? Yeah, that'd be nice.